Drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Come on in. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. As always, with you on the ESPN Chicago app as well, Tyler Rocky and Mike Gilligan. We talk golf with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season at 9 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Chicago. We'll talk with PJ Clark from the Fried Egg coming up at about 10:15. So much going on today in the world of golf, Mike. Obviously, we've got the players going on, but plenty of other stuff, including the Tiger Woods news. But good morning to you. And first and foremost, happy posting season, as you can officially post your scores with the CDGA.
Hard to believe. Opening day. Good morning, Tyler, and good morning, everybody. Good to have you here. And it's unbelievable that we ended up getting weather that has people actually playing golf on opening day, which isn't always the case with an earlier March 15th start than the traditional April 1. So it's going to be good to see people out there. I know they got out there all during the week, although they couldn't officially put their scores in. But let me tell you, Cog Hill yesterday was as crowded as it is in the middle of the summer. 42 hitting bays, and all 42 were full with people waiting. So golf is alive and well here in the spring of 2025.
I was at the range on Monday this past week, and I actually have a driving range etiquette question for you later on in the show that I want to get to, because it was just like Cog Hill. It was slammed. I mean, every bay, not only was every bay taken, there was somebody waiting at every single bay too to go out and hit some balls. That's how crowded it was out at Diversey. So,
and that brings out some amazing different behaviors out of people.
Oh, yes. We'll get to all that and more a little bit later on. But let's start with the news of the week, and that is Tiger Woods announced that he is going to undergo a said it was a minor surgery. I don't know if there is a minor surgery for a ruptured Achilles. But that's what happened while he was practicing at his home down in Florida. And this is one of those things. We keep talking about it with Tiger. Is it finally it for Tiger? But I don't know about this time around, Mike. Like, how much longer can we keep doing this with Tiger Woods? And how many times can he keep coming back? I mean, we're talking about a ruptured Achilles. It's one of the most debilitating injuries that you can get as an athlete.
There's no question about that. And when you have that as an athlete, you're generally in your 20s or your 30s. He's 50. So for him to come back, now we watched Bernhard Langer do it in record time at his age. But that is such a critical muscle between the calf and the heel that is attached with the Achilles. And it's going to be a process for him to come back, for sure. And the moment that word percolated through the news that he had this, you know, unforeseen injury, and nobody had this on their radar, the amount of texts and emails that I received, and every one of them started out, put a fork in him, he's done, it's over. And unfortunately, I think this is father time now, finally winning and maybe putting the stamp of I won. Now, will he come back and play seniors? Sure. But I actually had some hope in how he was moving at the TGL, and it seemed like things were really looking good. He looked like the healthiest since this car crash. And so I really thought maybe we might find lightning in the bottle at the Masters one more time. But unfortunately, it's going to be another year lost and another year gone by.
Yeah, it is. I'm with you. I can't see it happening this time around. And I know he's come back before. But as your age gets up there, and really just everything that kind of goes into what it takes to play 4 days of golf, even 2 days of golf. I mean, we see it with him at the majors when he does participate in any sort of tournament. He doesn't look right out there at all. It's one of those things. He's using that putter when he's going up to the green. That is not a putter for the good walk to the green. It is used as a quasi cane, it seems like, at times when he's trying to get up there and prepare himself for the greens. And it's hard to watch, man. Like, it is to see somebody physically crumble like this. It's one of the toughest things to watch in sports.
It is, and we put him on such a pedestal. I mean, we've all heard it. You know, he moves the needle. He is the needle, right? And it's hard to watch Superman actually come down. I mean, he has done everything. He's always answered the bell. He has done things that we say never could be done, and he does it anyway. Now, for the first time, we're seeing him really be like us, be like a normal human. Mm-hmm. He gets hurt and coming back. So coming back is not going to be as easy. Now, will he try? You better believe he will. But at the same time, he's still 50. But, you know, he's got a team of people. But I think his focus should be just getting out onto the senior tour now and having fun there. And I think this may put things into a different perspective for him, because the week before he tore this, there were all kinds of video of he at his daughter's soccer match and having a great time in the crowd. So I think to a certain degree, Tiger's also enjoying somewhat of a normal life now, which he never could have when he was in his 20s and 30s and 40s. So, you know, this might be, in an odd way, a blessing in disguise. But right now, it certainly doesn't feel that way.
And he certainly can still impact the game of golf. We know how fundamental he is in working on this merger, too, between the PGA Tour and LIV Golf. And we'll get into that even more because Jay Monahan, the PGA Tour commissioner, spoke about it. Justin Thomas spoke about it and some of the frustrations that may be growing right now. But when you think about the impact that Tiger still can have on the game of golf, and it's not just the PGA Tour as a whole, but obviously his son Charlie is a big part of this too. What does his career end up looking like when he progresses stage to stage to stage? And when I look at what Tiger's impact is on the game of golf, I know he's not going to catch Jack. I know he's not going to maybe end up with the most wins, but it's something that was talked about a lot this week on the station when talking about Tiger. And it's the way I feel about Tiger in particular. I am always more impressed by Tiger because of the way that he bred his competition. And golf is a sport of longevity, too. Like, the fact that he's still even playing in some of these tournaments at age 49 is very telling. But for him to go out and breed his competition the way that he has, like, how many of these guys on the tour would not be there if it weren't for Tiger? I think it's a pretty hefty amount. And then you look at the purses, too, that are out there. Obviously, LIV Golf has a little bit to it, but Tiger was the one that really boosted these purses in the first place.
100%. I mean, every player that's new coming into the tour needs to pay homage to Tiger. Tiger rewrote golf. I mean, he changed it in ways that we never saw coming, because his influence on the game is unlike anybody else. Because think about it, before he even teed up number one golf ball as a professional, he already had $60 million worth of endorsements in the bank. Nicholas Palmer, Trevino player, none of them even had a dollar in the bank yet. So he's been programmed in a way to be, in essence, the GOAT from day one. But now he's going to have a lot of time to reflect. Where can he make his biggest impact on the game now? And I think that his legacy is what matters most to Tiger. That's why he never made that jump to LIV. It's because of his legacy. And because of that, I think you're going to see Tiger do things that we wouldn't necessarily expect at a younger age. In other words, to your point, he will be an instrumental figure in this reunification, and I think that's where we need him. We don't need him at the Players' Championship. We would like to have him there, but where we need him is to get this game back unified. So maybe this is a little bit of a silver lining in the cloud, and that it allows him to reassess where he is in his golfing life from a competitive perspective, but also from enjoying life perspective.
Does Tiger Woods have a comeback in him? 312-332-3776. If you want to join us here on the CDGA Golf Show, this segment is brought to you by Tour Edge. William's on the west side. What's up, William?
Hey, first time caller, long time listener. Just wanted to say I do think that Tiger's impact on the game is tremendous and that it is about legacy for him. And with that being said, I think another way that he can impact and expand his legacy is playing long enough for his son to play with him. I think that might be his incentive to come back and not just necessarily go and play seniors, just to have that impact to be able to do the father-son golf and then eventually phase out and let his son take the mantle.
Yeah,
thanks, guys.
It's a good point. Thanks, William. And I don't think we've seen Tiger play his last golf tournament, but I think we've seen Tiger make his last cut.
I maybe not go quite that far, but I like what William has to say. I think Charlie's going to play a big role in where Tiger decides to go next. And if he really feels that Charlie is tour worthy, then I think he's going to spend that time there. But if Charlie goes through college and is sort of indifferent about it or just doesn't have the credentials like these other guys that are walking out on PGA Tour University, then I think that changes his decision in terms of how much he competes versus not competing. And I think Charlie holds the cards to William's point.
Yep. 312-332-3776 if you want to join the conversation. When we come back, Michael Wilbon was on the station earlier this week, and he had some words about how he feels about where Tiger is with his game and if he is going to come back, what he believes is the future for Tiger Woods. So we'll hear something from Michael Wilbon there, and we want to hear from you as well. 312-332-3776. Is this it for Tiger Woods? We'll take more of your calls when we come back. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
This segment brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Wheel Pro Golf Bag. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan talking all things golf with you. The big news this week, and there's been plenty of news all week, whether it's with the merger, some of the scores we saw posted, both good and bad, at the Players this week, the quote-unquote fifth major, everything that went on in the Players, practice rounds, real rounds, we'll get into all of it in just a little bit. But the story of the week, Tiger Woods undergoing surgery for a ruptured Achilles tendon that will end his 2025. Now the hope is that he can maybe play in 2026. But it has been a legendary career for Tiger Woods, and just the way that he has revolutionized the sport has been like nothing we've really seen in sports, quite frankly, in the way that he has just upped golf and the way that golf kind of holds a spot in the sports calendar now. But will not play in any of the majors this year. That was really his only schedule that he was running by. But it already takes so much for him to get ready for a golf tournament. And this is just to play 2 days, let alone the four that is required to actually go out and win in a golf tournament. But Tiger Woods ruptured Achilles tendon, and it'll end his season. And who knows the next time we are going to see Tiger Woods out on a golf course.
It probably isn't going to be till 2026. I mean, this is 6 to 9 months of recovery. And then, you know, that's just a kit back to normal. And then when you really want to start getting after it and hitting golf balls, especially over on that left side, because you know, he did it over on the left. He had torn the right one, I guess, when he had the knee surgery on the left leg. So he's had all kinds of issues, even with his legs, let alone his back. So he's a human medical marvel on certain mm-hmm. levels. But yeah, he has changed the game in many, many different ways. But I'll think the biggest influence that he had on this game and that we see today is just how physically fit all the players are these days. When he came out in the mid-90s, everybody had like a pot belly. They had dad bodies. And Tiger changed all that. And so for the younger folks that are coming into the game thinking this is how players always were, they weren't. In fact, there were a lot of players that subscribed to never working out because they thought it actually hurt them, to the likes of a Craig Stadler, who actually played poorly when he lost weight. Johnny Miller, you know, credits that when he decided he bulked up by putting in a new fence in his yard, his golf game went away. So how you are born and how your body works has something to do with it, but Tiger took it to a whole nother level, and that's why now it's so funny. Everybody doesn't have a belly anymore.
Yeah, it's you look at the golfers. There's no John Daly's out there anymore.
No, nope.
It's a different type of player that's on the tour. I mean, everybody is physically fit, and you see it even in like Full Swing, like the workouts that these guys go through before their rounds and in their training. Like, it is a regimented part of who they are and how they get ready for these tournaments and how they get prepared for just to go about their sport. But it is pretty significant too, like just seeing the amount of times that Tiger has come back, and every single time it feels like he's done. We're not going to see him again, but then he pulls off some miracle each and every time, it feels like. But this time, I don't know what it is. It just feels a little bit different, and even to a degree, like, he's come back from golf, but he hasn't really been a factor. Like, he's participated in the tournaments, but he's made one or two cuts over the last 2 years. It's a struggle, and you see him even when he does make cuts sometimes, like was it the Open Championship or the Masters a couple years ago, where he ended up withdrawing after 3 days just because his body could not handle it anymore.
Right. And, you know, I often wonder, with the injuries that he's plagued with now, what would have happened had he never gone into the Navy SEALs? Because it was when he decided to do that is where he screwed up his knee to begin with. And so when you take that piece of his life and also, you know, the situation with his wife and all of that, mm-hmm. had those things never happened, he could be in his 20-something majors at this point. But he missed out on a lot of part of the best part of his, you know, golf timeline and in terms of his health and his body, when those incidents took basically him away from golf, away from the tour, both mentally and literally physically. So I think, you know, his demise in terms of not breaking Jack's record really falls on some of the extracurricular activities, yeah. not the game itself. So to your point, yeah, I mean, he's injured, but I think this injury feels different because he injured it in just a real normal way. I mean, he was just working out like any of us. So I think it just shows to us that he's more vulnerable than he ever has been. He's not quite the man of steel like he used to be.
Yeah, he's got a completely different body right now with all the surgeries that he's been through and the injuries that he's had to overcome. It's a completely different type of person right now. This was earlier in the week. Michael Wilbon was on with Waddle and Sylvie, and they asked him about Tiger Woods and if this is it for Tiger.
This is finally it, do you think, in terms of
it's
him
already
competing?
Been finally it. Yeah. It's already been finally it. That was after the leg thing. We talked about this today, Tommy. I on PTI, we did it on SportsCenter actually. And, you know, I feel bad. It reminds me of, so I was in my early 20s when I started in this business, and Ali was fighting Larry Holmes and Trevor Burbick, and he said, I just wanted to close my eyes and not look at it. because it was over, but I didn't want it to be over. I wanted one last thing because I was a teenager and a little kid, and I remember I was young, the best of Ali, and then it was over, and you wanted more of it, and it was, that's it. It's done. It's not, there's no more best of. And then I had that with Jordan and, well, with Jordan, and then I got to consume all of that in real adult years, and I never wanted it to end, and you didn't want it to end, and you thought, well, maybe he can recapture it with the Wizards for a minute or two, and he couldn't, and you got to let go of it because it's time to be over. Yeah. And then Tiger, most recently, and we had that last gasp in Atlanta and at Augusta, and I wanted some more of it, but it's over. And yeah. I know he's not 50, and he could play champions, but I can't see him doing that. I've talked to him about that in the past, but I think his answer 10 years ago might fully be different and doesn't apply to what his answer would be now. But it's just, you know, a part of me, look, I play golf because of Tiger Woods. I changed my own life because of Tiger Woods. I changed my life. I changed what I do. I changed where I live. I changed my hobbies, my habits because of Tiger. And therefore, my son plays golf because of Tiger and me. And so I get it more so than most people. I get how Tiger Woods has impacted not just sports, but just life for people, lifestyle. And it's over. It's been over. We got to get over it. Don't tell me that anybody on tour now is like been handed the baton, because that's BS.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of great players out there. I think there's more great players at one time than there have ever been at one time. But does anybody make me stop panting for Tiger Woods? No. No.
I think right there you hear the impact that Tiger has, not just even on like the tour, but just like your everyday player. I mean, I'm sure if you would ask golf course managers across the country the impact that Tiger Woods has had on their business, they would probably say there's two things that have impacted our business the most. It's Tiger Woods and it's COVID, and how it has led to the boom of golf.
Those are two of the biggest benchmarks that I can point to in my lifetime. And it was interesting listening to Michael speak, because he and I are about the same age. And so he hit on three different athletes in the same regard that I did: Ali, Jordan, and Woods. I'd even throw in Wayne Gretzky into the mix too, because watching his career at the end was a little difficult as well. And it's like anything else. All good things have to come to an end eventually. That's why they were so great. But what happens is when it's occurring right in front of our eyes, we're not actually realizing we're witnessing history until it's almost over and now it's going away. And now we want to say, oh, God, let's go back to those times. We had those amazing times. And I am ever so grateful for being able to be right in the thick of things when Tiger came onto the scene and really caused that boom and played some of the best golf he ever. The year of 2000 will be something I'll never forget. And nobody, and I mean nobody, Jack Nicklaus, Hogan, Sarazen, you can give me anybody. Nobody was dominating like he did. He dominated in such a fashion, he had everybody mentally beat before the final round would start.
Well, yeah.
Nobody really wanted to be in that final group with him, because you know you were going into the fire. So it was amazing to watch an athlete other than Jordan have that mental side of him. Woods could will the ball into the hole like nobody else I've ever seen with the putter. And perhaps the most clutch player, aside from maybe Michael Jordan, I've ever seen.
You think about it, too. Like, Tiger Woods and just what he has brought. Like, the margin of victory, too, has always stood out to me. Like, you see him winning some of these. He'd go into Sunday, and the tournament would already be over.
Exactly.
Like, sure, he could get paired up with whoever he got paired up with. Tiger could go out and shoot four over, which he would never do, but he could go out and shoot four over and still win the tournament with ease and never even sweat it.
Oh yeah, he would have. There were many events in the early 2000s, to your point, it was over Saturday night. It was just, it was really a question of who's going to finish second, third, and fourth.
Yeah.
That's really what you tuned in for. Or to see if Tiger could eclipse the 13-shot victory he had when he was at Pebble Beach.
Yeah.
I mean, who wins a U.S. Open by that?
Right.
He does.
Exactly.
So
one of a kind.
One of a kind.
One other thing that Michael hit on, too, was talking about the Champions Tour and if Tiger would play on that. You seem like you think he will.
I think he will at points. I don't know that he's going to be a regular player. I think he'll go on out and just want to try to take down some of the majors. I don't think he wants to try to get into breaking Bernhard Langer's all-time wins on the senior tour. He's not going to do that. I think if it's good for the game and helps build that tour's stature and maybe brings the purses up like he did with the other tour,
yeah,
that would be the reason he would go, to help bring that tour up in popularity, into more optics, eyeballs. It would be more of a business decision, I think, than a personal decision for him in terms of his legacy. His legacy's there. Right. It's just whether or not he wants to give back and help that tour out. But again, his health is going to play a lot into this. If he comes out of this, you know, surgery and whatnot, and he's just not the same, he has too much pride. And I think, to Michael Wilbon's point, I don't think we would see him. But if he thinks he could go out and win a senior U.S. Open and a senior PGA and put those majors on his mantle, I think he might try it. Just, again, to develop that tour bigger than what it currently is, because that's the same effect he had on the PGA Tour when he said hello world back in 1996.
What do you think is the most likely to happen? If I give you three options of, like, what the next stage of Tiger's golf career looks like, which is most likely, do you think? Do you think he is A, going to finish top 20 in a PGA Tour / major event? Will it be B, he is a fundamental part of unifying the PGA Tour and LIV? Or is it C, he goes out and wins a senior tour event?
B.
Unifying the game?
Yeah, I think he knows that if he can have that mark and be a major player, because I think we'll always look back at this period of time on how the game was changed and why we are where we are, wherever that will be, because it seems one thing we know is nobody knows where we are. But if there is going to be one world tour or wherever this comes out, I think Tiger would like to have his name somehow attached to the solution and not being attached to it as being the problem.
Yeah, I would probably agree with. I just don't know how much he has left in the tank right now. I really don't. And I don't know what the on-course look is going to be like moving forward. 312-332-3776. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, though, you know, it's a, you know, I don't know how what he has left. Mentally, you got to think about how draining that is, because for most players to get up, practice, play, they're doing it with a pretty healthy body. For him to just get ready on a regular day basis, it's a process. It's several hours before he can even start to working out. Then he'll play, practice, and whatever. So his days are incrementally a lot longer than most as a result of all of these health issues and surgeries. So for him, every day is a bigger battle than what it is for you and I.
Yep. It's, yeah. Just seeing some of the things and what you read about what it takes for him to get ready for a golf tournament. This is before the Achilles. What it takes to get ready is really remarkable that he is able to go out there and survive for 18 holes. If you've got a thought, 312-332-3776. We'll continue to take your calls on Tiger, and also we'll tell you what's going on at the Players. It's been a fascinating tournament so far and a very interesting leaderboard, too. We'll do all that and more when we come back. Plenty of storylines to get there as well. This is the CDGA Golf Show, and this segment brought to you by Zero Friction.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.
Illinois Bone and Joint Institute is proud to present the Chicago Adaptive Open at IBJI. They're dedicated to helping you move better so you can live better. Their expert team delivers compassionate, high-quality care with state-of-the-art imaging, convenient rehab locations, and 14 OrthoAxis immediate care facilities for same-day orthopedic treatment. With more than 150 physicians and 100 locations throughout Chicagoland, they offer expertise in every orthopedic specialty, from injury to recovery. IBJI is here for you. Get the close-to-home care you deserve. Visit IBJI.com to learn more.
From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
With you here on the CDGA Golf Show, a segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, we talk golf with you every single Saturday. You can take us on the go as well with the ESPN Chicago app. Download that app and take us wherever you go. So, Mike, we've been talking a lot about Tiger, and rightfully so, but there is one of the biggest tournaments of the year taking place right now down at TPC Sawgrass as the Players is rolling along. We got a tie. I've heard this been dubbed the Gen Z leaderboard with Minwoo Lee and Akshay Bhatia, your leaders right now at 11 under, followed up by J.J. Spaun at 10 under. Rory McIlroy, Colin Morikawa, and Alex Smalley all tied for fourth at 9 under. And then at a tie for 7, you got Lucas Glover, Will Zalatoris, and Tommy Fleetwood, and Jake Knapp at 7 under in a tie for 9th there. You've seen some of the stars kind of sprinkled all throughout the leaderboard. I mentioned Rory at the top and Colin at the top. Then you've got Scotty Scheffler currently tied for 16th, as is Ricky Fowler. But maybe more notably are some of the guys who did not make the cut this week. And some of the performances that we saw out of guys like Victor Hovland once again struggling, Tony Finau struggling, and once again, Max Homa failing to make a cut. And it was a disappointing showing from him as well. Also not making the cut, Ludvig Åberg as well. So one of the guys that a lot of people think can go out and win the Masters, and one of the guys playing the best golf on tour right now. Ludvig did not make the cut, so a number of big names that are not seeing the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it. At one point, the leaderboard looked better at the bottom of the half of the list versus the top half. But, the biggest surprise is the Adonis Åberg. I mean, that guy just looks like a Greek god of golf to me. I think Ludvig suffered from the perspective of he moved to that community. He lives right there at the Players Championship course in that general neighborhood, if you will. So he knows that golf course quite well. He plays it a lot. But I also think, and what we've seen over the years, guys that live there and think they have the home court advantage and know the golf course seem to put more pressure on themselves because of that. And I think Ludvig may have done that. I think, again, that's part of his maturation process of how do I play better literally in my home court. Because I think he tried to force some things and do some things instead of letting the golf course come to him. And I think that tends to happen when you think you know something that everyone else doesn't. So I think it's just going to take time for him. I'm still picking him to win the Masters. Yeah. I still think he's the best player out on the tour right now. I'll put that in the top three for sure. Mm-hmm. But he is somebody that's going to be very, very special. Now, going back to some of these other names, Max Homa, I'm just wondering if Bryson or Bubba Watson are going to try to pick him up on the Range Goats or the Crushers. Because to me, he's like the next guy that would be willing to make that jump based on what's happening. And he is emotionally upset about what's going on. He feels like he's putting in the work and he's not getting the results. And, you know, the only thing you can keep saying to a guy like that is just don't quit and just keep on going. But he's going through what we all go through in golf, the doldrums, the days when no matter what you do, it's like the harder you try, the worse it gets. So sometimes he might just have to take a break, walk away from it. Maybe he's been going at it too hard and too focused. But I'm absolutely shocked at a guy like Victor Hovland. I mean, here was a guy that we didn't think could ever miss when he was at Olympia Fields. And it seems like after that season, he's missed quite a bit. So another disappointing miscut for him. And I guess we'll see what these guys do over the next couple of weeks, if anything, and see what their games look like when they arrive to Magnolia Lane.
You know, it's funny you say that about Victor, because when he broke the course record at Olympia Fields, that's one of the last great rounds that we've really seen out of him.
Exactly. Like
last year was a big struggle. I remember he had one good day down at Augusta, but it's been a real struggle for him ever since then.
Yeah, there is no question about it. And it's puzzling. It's just puzzling because a guy like that, I think he went out and he tried to experiment with his swing a little bit and he did a few other things. If it's not broken, don't try to fix it. And I think he tinkered with it in a way that I think maybe he's regretting that a little bit. And, you know, you just have to take a look in the mirror. Are you doing exactly what you were doing in that year that you had when you shot the course record at Olympia Fields? You know, was that the, you know, are you putting in the same amount of effort, work, you know, discipline, consistency? And I think just what happens with these guys is, you know, a lot of success breeds a lot more opportunities. These opportunities basically take away your time from practicing, from staying razor sharp on your game in all areas of it. And, you know, when you get distracted and, you know, that mighty dollar gets waved in your face and now you have appearance fees that you have to make because you're getting paid, it just detracts from what you do on a day-to-day basis to get your game where it was. And what happens, it's like, well, now that I've spent all this time over here, today I'm a little tired, so I won't practice, I won't putt, I won't do this. And all those little cuts start turning up the results that we're now starting to see. So, you know, whether it's that or whether it's something physical, who knows? But it's not the Victor Hovland we saw in 2023.
No. Now, on the flip side of that, one guy who looked like he was heading to not make the weekend was Justin Thomas after his Thursday. Friday told a completely different story. Goes 6 over on Thursday, 78. But then matches the course record on Friday with a 62. And it's just Justin Thomas has some of these reminders when you're counting them out that he's still one of the best golfers on the planet. And it's crazy to think he goes out, shoots 62, and he enters the day tied for 30th.
I guarantee you, if you ask any of his classmates at Alabama, what kind of student was JT? They'll tell you he never studied. He waited till the night before the test. He'd cram and he'd come out with an A+. I think that's the way he rolls. I think he plays better when the chips are down, the pressure's up against him. I think he thrives on pressure, and there are some of us that do that, and he's one of them, and it's been amazing to watch. I had a chance to watch his entire back nine yesterday, and I have watched a ton of amazing golf in my life. But to watch how dialed in he was absolutely incredible. And what was really cool is how his caddy just got out of the way. Mm-hmm. His caddy really just let him go. He could tell he was on a run. He just kept handing him clubs.
Yep.
And they really didn't talk much.
Yeah.
And
it's like a pitcher with a perfect game.
It was. It really was. And he wasn't saying anything. And he just kept mounting these birdies one after another. And you have to remember, when he won this tournament, he broke the record for coming back. He was 7 shots behind and won this tournament. Mm-hmm. And what's really amazing, he tied Tom Hoagie's course record of 62 yesterday. Well, Tom Hoagie shot it, I believe it was in 2021. You know who was playing in the group with him? Justin Thomas.
Wow.
So Justin comes around and does the exact same thing. And you know what Tom Hoagie shot the first day? When he shot 62 the second day, he too shot 78. He did exactly what JT did. So It's just funky how golf can do that to us. But his round, his comeback was, I mean, his own peers were cheering for him when they had that happy hour with Kisner and Ricky and I think Smiley. And they were all on the 17th tee. I mean, they were paying homage to their friend. I mean, they were genuinely rooting for him to make that putt at 17. And it was interesting. That hole yesterday was the hole where you hear the better-than-most Gary Koch when Tiger made that putt.
Yeah.
That's where they cut the hole yesterday instead of today. And the reason they did that is because of the amount of forecasted wind that's coming today. They were afraid that nobody would be able to even get the ball close because of they would be downwind on that hole today. So you're going to see the hole cut way in the back. So it's going to allow these guys to land it in the middle and chase it back there. So the wind and the weather is playing some havoc over the next couple of days, and it'll be interesting to see what they do tomorrow because they're expecting thunderstorms around 3 o'clock. So they may go split tees, start them early. I think we're going to find that out later today.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, we have to get into one more story, too, from the players, and that is what happened with Rory McIlroy. Fair or foul, what Rory McIlroy did to a fan, that's coming up next. We are brought to you in this segment by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf without the drive.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Ladies and gentlemen.
This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course, Tyler Rocky and Mike Gilligan talking all things golf with you. This was from Tuesday. A very, very strange interaction that took place during one of the practice rounds for the players. And Rory McIlroy was teeing off and finds the water. And there, you could hear a fan in the crowd go, just like at the Master, or just like at Augusta, I believe was the words that came from his mouth. And we later find out it was Luke Potter, who is a golfer at the University of Texas. But what happened after may have been stranger. Rory McIlroy, when he was walking up, takes the phone out of the hands of Luke Potter's friend and walks down the fairway with it. It's one of the stranger things I think I've seen or heard about at a golf tournament, taking the phone away from the guy.
Well, he actually asked him, can I see your phone? So he asked him. He didn't just take it. He asked because I think he thought, oh, Rory's going to do like a selfie with us. And no, he just started walking away. Far from it, son. And then we come to find out, because he took the phone. Now, are you just going to leave the golf course without your phone? No. So you're going to have to come fully admit that it's me, that he's got my phone. And so that's how this all came to be. And then they realized it was a University of Texas golfer who just won at the Jacksonville Country Club a couple of days earlier. So the teams were spectating as sort of a benefit, as a, you know, as one of those great privileges. Hey, we get to play and then we get to watch the big guys play. So, you know, he won the tournament a couple days earlier and has all the attention that he would want for that action. But then he decided to become more of a viral social media, call it, you know, maybe not a star, but a focal point, and with a lot of views. I think over like 1.9 million views now, I think this thing's had. So it goes to show you where our society is starting to head with this whole social media, hiding behind things, being able to say what you think you want to say just because you bought a ticket or have a ticket, that entitlement. Mm-hmm. And I think what makes golf so different than basketball or football or whatnot is that there's always noise and there's always people yelling. But golf is so quiet. One voice will just pierce through everything. And it is such a, you know, spotlighted, highlighted thing that happens, or disruption, or whatever is said, whether it's funny, whether it's humorous, whether it's strategic. But in this case, I think this young man would want to walk those words back, because I think, as his coach said, but I still don't think it's any reason to excuse it, he said he had no idea what was coming out of his mouth was going to result in this fashion. Mm-hmm. Oh, so like that would just make it okay because he didn't know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he knew exactly what he was doing. He was being kind of that smart guy, but then he got caught. And now it's kind of an interesting situation. And now it's, oh, he's going through a lot. He's, you know, he's really beat up. He's, you know, all about this. But then in the same sentence, he puts himself in the same company as Jordan Spieth, because he said, you know, with Jordan and Tiger and Scotty, you know, it's a wake-up call for all of us. I didn't know he was in the same company as Tiger, Rory, or Scotty. So I didn't know who this gentleman was until he did this. So for him to think that he is now on the same social media level as these four golfers, I don't think so.
Yeah. This was Rory talking about it after his round on Thursday when he shot a 67.
Rory, can I ask you about the shenanigans about getting 17 in the practice?
No, you can't.
What?
Because I don't want you to.
All right. The whole thing, I think, was made stranger by the fact that it wasn't a civilian, that it was a player. I mean, is it surprising? Did you know that? And did you learn that later? And did it surprise you when you learned it?
I'm really happy that I shot 67 today.
So Rory McIlroy wanted no part of it. The one thing I will say about it, and maybe I don't know if you feel differently, it was a practice round. It wasn't like this was day three, moving day, or a Sunday at the Players. It was a practice round. And to me, it just felt a little bit odd that Rory was going to get so bent out of shape over something like that.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I would agree with you on the practice round. I think he's, you know, got a little bit of what I'll call elephant ears in that regard. He probably should have just walked away, and everything would have been just fine. But he's been running into a couple of little controversies here and there with spectators, like he did at the Waste Management. He had a situation with he and his caddy that he was standing up for. And I know Ricky Fowler just had an incident, you know. And, you know, it's just going to be interesting to see how these things play out for the rest of the year, because in September, we are going to have a Ryder Cup like no other.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're going to be in New York at Bethpage, and you know all the guys from London, those soccer hooligan type, are very passionate about their country and their players, are all going to be over here. And I have already heard through many folks on the tour that they have great concerns about this year's Ryder Cup because of what they're seeing now starting to happen at other events that typically didn't have these type of incidents happening. So what they're worried about is what's going to happen, I think, at Bethpage, which is also why I think they didn't have any problem making the prices just astronomical, so that it only attracts people who might be a little bit more calm in their demeanor, so to speak.
Yeah. All right, we'll run through some of the headlines of the week in the world of golf. There was lots of them, including Tiger Woods, and also, are we closer to a merger between the PGA and LIV Golf? All that and more coming up next. This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.